everyone. Hope you're all keeping warm and snuggly. The envelopes, we have a few announcements. The envelopes on the pews are a reminder that next week we will be collecting your donations to the UUSC Guest at Your Table program. You can bring your donation back in an envelope or in your Bob box. Today in the social hall, we are selling tickets to next week's heartwarming Old Bafana holiday musical performance. We hope you will all enjoy coming to this performance, and please invite all your friends, neighbors, grandparents, aunts, uncles, people off the street. We are excited to bring this wonderful performance to Lake Country and need to fill up the sanctuary with people enjoying it. And now we have another announcement from Kaya and Haley.
Good morning. Could you use some special holiday cards this season? Well, we've got some for you made by the kids here at church. Sets of 8 cards each are being sold for $14 in the social hall after service, between now and Christmas. Each set has 8 different designs. The profits we make are going back to LCUC as the contribution to our annual stewardship campaign. So remember to stop by our table after the service today to get some unique Christmas cards.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Welcome to this warm and loving space. It is a good morning to be together. When winter's darkness spreads across sleepy hills and cold creeps through our heavy coats and our furry hats, we hurry here, drawn by the warmth of our chalice and by smiles familiar and new. Here, for this time, in this house, we open ourselves to reassurance, new understanding, and new hope, for this is a place where truth, love, and challenge meet. Welcome. It is a good morning to be together. Please take a moment to say hello or introduce yourself to the people around you this morning. Thank you.
We light this chalice and know that it is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. It is the fire that burns even in the deepest snow and winter chill. Please stand as you are willing and able and join me in our first hymn, hymn number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Fran Bills, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, wherever they are on life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. While you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to all of our visitors, friends, and members joining in. please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have here with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you've chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
One of the ways that we here at LCUUC try to help in our wider community is by contributing to the local food banks. We do this financially, and we also do this through collecting non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have any food items to share, please bring them forward, or have a child bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front for a story. Well, good morning, everybody. You may have noticed when you came in this morning, or maybe last week, that we had a tree in our lobby with all kinds of bags and bears and stuffed animals, blankets under it. This is our bag, blanket, and bear program, and the program was started in our area by Corinne Spencer and her mom, Teresa, and it lets us donate a bag, blanket, and a soft stuffed animal to kids who've had to leave their homes and go into foster care so that they'd have something that was theirs and familiar, because sometimes kids get moved around a lot when they do foster care. I know how important this is for foster kids, because when I was little, I didn't have any parents. And I was lucky. I was a baby when I was in foster care. But when I was about 12 years old, so just a little bit bigger than you guys, my sister and I were home one night, and it was cold, and the phone rang. And my mom and dad came and told us that there weren't just going to be two of us anymore. That some of the boys that we had played with, and we knew they were friends of ours, and they were brothers, that they didn't have a safe place to live anymore, or a mom or dad to take care of them. So they were coming to live in our house. And we didn't really know what that meant, but when they got there, they were scared, and they were cold, and they were 6 years old and 8 years old, and where they had been living wasn't a very good place. It wasn't clean. They didn't have a lot of clothes or toys. And everything they had, each of them had in a black garbage bag. So can you imagine that that'd be all the stuff you got? No more stuff. All their clothes. They didn't have any toys, because what toys they had were dirty and broken, and they weren't allowed to bring broken pieces of things. So they came in the door, and they had their black plastic garbage bags, and they were really scared, and they were really cold. And the first thing my mom and dad did was give them each their very own blanket so that they could get warm right there with us. It meant a lot to them to have that blanket. And mom and dad gave them each a toy, because they didn't have any other ones. And so that was something they could sleep with that night and know that it was their very, very own, and nobody could take it from them. Now, my two brothers are grown up now. They both have kids. But they still remember those blankets and those first stuffed animals that they got. So this is a great program that we get to do. Thank you all for listening to my story today. Could I get my lantern bearer? And would you all help me in singing the children out? an old, old dollar bill and an even older $100 bill arrived at the Federal Reserve Bank to be retired. "I've had a great life," the hundred says. "I've been to Vegas, the finest restaurant in New York. I even went on a Caribbean cruise." "Wow, that's exciting," the dollar said. "I don't even know what a cruise is." "It doesn't matter," the hundred said. "You wouldn't understand. So where have you been?" "Well, I've been to the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church. I spent some time with the Lutherans, and I just left a UU church," the dollar replied. "Wait," the hundred interrupts. "What's a church?" "Please do not discriminate against your larger currency. Allow it to remain uneducated. Teach it about church today." "The morning offering will now be given and received." Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. Our community and our church could not exist if it were not for the members who make up our congregation. Today we will welcome 4 new members who will join us in beloved community. If I could I have Al Haskell join me up here? And would our new members, Debbie Reiners, Rick Sternkopf, Tori Wendland, and Brian Hazelworth, please come up and join me? Here in this church, humans, beings have gathered seeking a higher purpose and deeper life than they can find alone. We are grateful today for each one of you that you have found your way here and that you have decided to make a commitment to this community. We hope that as a member of this church, you will allow yourselves to know and to be known, to minister to and to be ministered unto, to love and be loved by this congregation. We never really know what combination of fate or friendship or good luck it is that brings certain people together in this world. but we believe that membership in the church calls each of us here to celebrate the faith that has drawn us together and to regard each one as spiritual friend, a potential teacher, even of occasionally hard lessons. The relationships we form in our church are based on the needs of the soul, needs that render each of us vulnerable and reliant on each other's grace and goodness and generosity of spirit. As members of this church, we pledge to be guardians of each other's spirits, to respect the ultimate privacy of each one's human struggle, and to believe in each one's inherent dignity.
Hello, I'm Al Haskell, and I'm here today representing the Board of Trustees, Stewardship, and the Membership Committee. As we come together today, we recognize that each member must make a contribution to our religious organization, supporting the life and work of this community through gifts of time and talent and financially. Together, we make this a vital and dynamic congregation, working for positive change in ourselves and the world.
All right, for our new members, I'm giving you the response. And as a member of a Unitarian Universalist congregation makes a free choice to join their life with that of a community. If you, standing here with me now, are ready to affirm that free choice, please repeat in unison the words listed on the sheet you have before you.
Thank you, and well done, since you got that just right now. It is the joy and I feel the duty of our congregation to welcome you all into this community of faith. Would the members of the congregation please read in unison the words of covenant and welcome included in your order of service?
We welcome you among us, and we invite you to join us in the life and work of this community. In the bonds of fellowship and love, we unite to cultivate reverence, to promote spiritual growth and ethical commitment, to minister to each other's needs and to those of humanity, to celebrate the sacred moments of life's passage, and to honor the holiness at the heart of being.
So,
as symbols of this welcoming, I can offer you the right hand of fellowship. And we're so pleased to have you guys join us. You're going to make us greater. We are so pleased you've chosen to join us. I'm offering you small gifts. Better understand the questions and the search that we all have. I also offer you a candle and ask that you each, should you desire, take a moment and go to our chalice. This will be symbolic of your kindling or rekindling your faith, but as a way of joining the flame that we all stand.
Welcome to the chalice.
Yeah, walk this way.
Can I get a round of applause, please? It's the time in our service where we share together our joys and our concerns. And we do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Yes, my name is Tammy, and if we could, I'd like to light a candle in memory of Nelson Mandela. The world has lost a truly great man.
This is Kathy over here. I have what's both a joy and a concern. As many of you know, Gus is moving out of the area. This may possibly be his last service here, and I just wanted to say what a joy it's been. He and I joined the church at the same time. He's been on multiple committees. He started SOS here. He's been on the board twice. I moved over here to soak in his lovely singing voice one last time, and so it's a bittersweet service. Thank you, Gus.
John, please light a candle of joy to celebrate our new members.
My name is Carl, and my wife Tracy spent the last couple of years working on her teaching board certification, and she just found out that she passed a couple weeks ago, so real nice.
My name is Kirsten. Would you light a candle of support for the family of Katie Bayless, whose father died this morning, actually, after many long years of cancer and being an incredible individual, surviving his cancer and teaching others to do likewise?
My name is John. A good friend of mine and my wife's died this week. And her memorial service was yesterday. But when I was there, I couldn't help thinking how much she would have loved to be part of this community. So I want to invite her spirit here and raise her spirit up. Her name is Laura. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Erin. And I have a silly joy and a silly concern. I just passed my 59th circle around the sun, and my concern is I'm heading towards my 60th circle around the sun.
Hi, I'm Terry, and 37 years ago this morning, very early, my daughter was born. She's just an amazing young woman, and I'm very proud of her. And we were just talking this morning, they're coming to visit toward the end of this month, and I hope that I can bring her here, we can bring her, and maybe she'll catch the spirit and catch the little feeling that I got the first time I walked into here.
I'm Sue, and in the group birthday theme, we're wrapping up birthday season with Bjorn turning 14 on Monday. and last Monday, and hopeful that this brings a new year of health for him.
My name is Jim. If you would light a candle of concern for Barbara Begale, who underwent her fourth knee replacement surgery on Friday.
We light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we may hold deeply but have not named here today.
To love the fallow way and
Reading today is The Nourishing Dark by Dick Gilbert. We pause in holy quiet of the nourishing dark. In winter's embrace, the nights are long and dark. We miss the sparkling daylight hours, the long days of brightness and activity. We yearn for their soft return and wonder if we can wait or if our patience will at last give out. We forget the nourishing dark at our peril. There is mystery in the dark to be probed. There is the adventure of that which cannot be known, cannot be seen, can only be experienced in the soul. There is deepness in the dark, impenetrable and inviting. In the darkness we rest our bodies and our souls. We escape that which distracts and confuses. We come face to face with ourselves. We come into the deep places of our being. Darkness is not mere absence of light. Darkness is not simply an interval between days. Darkness is the softness of things, the blessed quiet of the night. May we not bemoan the dark, but relish it. May we feel its powerful presence and rejoice in its mystical embrace. May we celebrate the deep and nourishing dark. Here ends the first reading.
Winter Song by Joseph Emmett. The gift of a quiet mind brings us peace and healing. The gift of a quiet heart makes love sweet. Winning or losing, quietly breathing, watching snow fall like cat's feet. Please join me in a moment of silent thought, meditation, or prayer.
Our second reading today is Stillness, the Peace Within by Eric Schiffman.
You imagine a spinning top. Stillness is like a perfectly centered top, spinning so fast it appears motionless. It appears this way not because it isn't moving, but because it's spinning at full speed. Stillness is not the absence or negation of energy, life, or movement. Stillness is dynamic. It is unconflicted movement, life in harmony with itself, skill in action. It can be experienced whenever there is total, uninhibited, unconflicted participation in the moment you are in, when you are wholeheartedly present with whatever you are doing. For most of us, however, most of the time, our lives do not resemble a perfectly centered, spinning, top spinning so fast it appears motionless. Our lives are more like a top in a somewhat wild, erratic, and chaotic spin. We know we're alive because at least we're still spinning, but we are not quite perfectly centered, and we are not spinning anywhere near full speed. We don't have as much energy as we'd like. We are not experiencing as much aliveness as we might, nor are we experiencing the peace of stillness or the joy of being. Stillness, therefore, is a higher energy level, energy state than what we're used to. This is because we are rarely wholehearted or unconflicted about anything. When you are not wholehearted, when you'd rather be someplace other than where you are, parts of you shut down and begin not to participate. Your energy circulation becomes constricted, and the creative life force is unable to flow through you unimpeded. Your energy flow, the amount of life force flowing through you, begins to diminish. The source of the energy does not diminish, but the amount that flows through you does. This leads to ill health, low energy, lowered vitality, lack of enthusiasm, depression, frustration, unhappiness, and suffering. None of this feels good. When you are wholehearted about something, however, when you are where you want to be and are participating fully in the moment you are in, sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes mellow, you will experience a new sense of aliveness. You will experience a surge of energy, renewed vigor. This is not because there's actually an increase in energy, but because you are not constricting it quite so much. There is now a better energy flow. There's less conflict, less friction, less not wanting to be where you are, and therefore, for you, there will be the experience of more energy. This occurs whenever you are not attempting to spin clockwise and counterclockwise simultaneously. Spinning in opposite directions happens when you act on opposing desires, when you are conflicted about what you are doing, not wholehearted. Granted, this is most of the time. Stillness happens when you relax inside and are in harmony with yourself. This is the point. When you experience yourself in stillness, that is, when you give your undivided attention to experiencing the truth about you, you will experience the conflict-free, calm, dynamic peace of perfectly centered, abundant life energy. This exquisite peace, deep within you, is actually the experience of God, or the harmony of oneness felt within you as you. It's how God is experiencing himself, herself, now and always. It is the phenomenological feeling tone of being or existence, and it is the truest thing about who you are. When you experience the peace within you, you will simultaneously undergo a fundamental transformation in the way you think about yourself and how you see the world. Nothing will seem quite the same ever again. Here ends the second reading. Would you please stand as you are willing and able and join me in hymn 352, Find a Stillness.
These are the words of Pursuit, a poem by Stephen Dobbins. Each thing I do, I rush through so that I can do something else. In such a way do the days pass, a blend of stock car racing and the never-ending building of a Gothic cathedral. Through the windows of my speeding car, I see all that I love falling away. Books unread, jokes untold, landscapes unvisited, and why? What treasure do I expect in my future? It's rather the confusion of childhood loping behind me, the chaos of the mind, failure chipping away at success. Glancing over my shoulder, I can see its shape still. And so I move forward as someone in woods at night might hear the sound of approaching feet and stop to listen. And then, instead of silence, he hears some creature trying to be silent. What else can he do but run, rushing blindly down the path? Stumbling, struck in the face by sticks, the thing ever closer yet not really, hurrying or out of breath, it's teasing its kill. Each thing I do, I rush through so that I can do something else. When we sit down to watch a movie, with our popcorn and our drink, we see a story of moving images, all fooling our eyes and minds into believing that it's one piece. But it isn't. If we took that movie and we stopped looking at its projected image, but instead looked at its reality, at the thing itself in our hands, a videotape, we would see that it's made up of stills or frames, one unmoving picture after the next, images frozen in space and time. It's easy to make life imitate art, to rush through everything, to get to the next thing. These words ever feel true for you? When you get behind the wheel of your car in the movie of your life, has it become so automatic that even on the most beautiful day you look up and realize you're halfway home and you haven't seen anything? When you have 10 minutes to take a shower before one kid needs to be at practice, and another one needs to be back at school, and you have to be at a class or a party or an event, do you even feel the water on your back? Or smell your soap or body wash, the one that you picked out because it smelled so good in the store? Do you actually feel your washcloth? Or that nice comfy loofah you bought? or you done before you even realize you've begun. Right now, this frame, this minute, are you already waiting for the next word, the next thing? Is your mind going on ahead of me to what's going to come? Do you have a laundry list planning of things that you need to, got to, should do? What do you have to be ready for? What do you need to get ready for? What about today's coffee hour and lunch or dinner or bedtime or tomorrow? And the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, until you reach the last thing and you haven't felt the things in between. And it's easy to schedule self-care episodes on our already overflowing calendars. My Google Calendar looks like it exploded. And yet, while we meditate or paint or read or ski, how often do you catch yourself thinking, wow, this is great, I ought to do this more often. Now I'll be so relaxed so that I can do this and this and this and this. Right now, this frame, this moment, stop. Take a breath and feel it. Feel the air in your lungs. Smell the room with its fresh evergreen. Think about now. Feel your feet in your shoes. How long has it been since you've noticed them? Feel the cushion that you are sitting on. Take a moment to touch fabric around you, to actually feel with your fingertips something that you know as intimately as you know your own body. Experience the texture. Be here in this moment, not the next. Release the anticipation of what is to come. Float weightless and balanced in your body, knowing that this moment exists and contains within it, without you doing anything, the seeds of the next moment and what will come. How do we nurture those seeds, those frames that are still coming? And still experience the ever-changing now. Perpetual motion is not possible. You can only spin for so long. Muscles tire, eyes close, and brains fog. When I was a little person, maybe 2 or 3, the worst thing in the world used to happen every day at 1:30. I was dressed in comfy pajamas and put into my bed for the hideous and dreaded afternoon nap. And every day I cried and I kicked. I laid in bed with my arms like this and my little lips stuck out. And you could not have convinced me at that point that the moment I went to sleep, all the most marvelous things in the world weren't happening in the living room. I just knew that unicorns were dancing the cha-cha and handing out free ice cream. And there I was, trapped in a bed under a soft blankie. I could not understand that if I wanted to run in the yard as the sun went down, feeling the grass, catching some fireflies, eating that ice cream, that I had to be still in the daylight. What a thought. To keep moving, I had to be still. We are now moving into the still season of our year. Summer is many things. Heat and light, getting up early to get outside, to plant and mow the grass, maybe go biking and hiking and swimming. Kids are on vacation and sports are in full swing and the air smells like perfume. Many of us run from dawn to dusk and get back up to do it again, and it feels good. We're alive and growing. Autumn slows us down a bit, but we move forward and we crunch through leaves and we smell wood smoke in the air. We go to festivals, we take long walks, school's begun again, and we get things all ready for what is coming. And then we have winter. Cold and beautiful, with grass blades glittering with frost or hidden under white. You can taste snow and feel it in the air. Branches rattle in the trees instead of blowing gently. A season of rest for our planet. A nap in the middle of that tiring day. Now, I know that this is Wisconsin. Many of you nappers would be snoozing with snowshoes or skis on your feet, a wool cap over your ears so you can get outside as soon as you wake up. Understood. Many of you may have heard the phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, or as above, so below, or even each grain of sand contains a mountain. They all mean about the same thing. Small pieces of the universe imitate larger pieces. A child is like a parent. The course of a day mimics the course of a year. The seasons of a year resemble the seasons of a life. As Judy Collins says, winter is the time that winds the valley down, stills rivers in the storm, freezes little brooks. It's the time when we slow to the sound of falling flakes, crackling flames, when stars are high in the sky and the earth dreams of the coming flowers. Winter is a dark and fallow time when motion is frozen, storm is stilled, the land is empty and waiting. But it's that darkness, that emptiness, that rest that lets the spring begin again with all of the blaze of life. Summer and winter, hot and cold, life and death, color and blackness. Without one, the other can't exist. In Genesis 1 in the Hebrew Bible, there's a story about how the world was created by God. And it says that everything was unformed, and that darkness was over the face of the deep, and the world was without form and void. And God said there should be light in the darkness, and he separated light and darkness. It's a wonderful metaphor. Creation didn't destroy the darkness. It didn't throw it away or say that it had no value. It used it. As human beings, we may be called to bring light into the world, to help rectify and heal things that are broken. But you can't see the light without the darkness. Darkness becomes the canvas that we create with light. We are living chiaroscuro, living artworks made of highlights on a dark background. Each moment of your life, each day, each year, each life echoes the greater order of the universe. The spring of childhood, the winter of age, each moment, each frame echoes the same. Darkness and cold are absolutely not the end. They are the breath that refreshes and renews us. The deep silence that lets us stop spinning. The deep silence that lets us hear the symphony of the universe. Dare to pause. Dare to breathe. Dare to experience that nourishing darkness. Amen. Thank you.
We extinguish this chalice and know that its light will continue to warm us throughout winter's cold. Would you please stand as you are willing and able and join me in our final hymn, number 347, Gather the Spirit, and please remain standing for the benediction.
Go into the world and know that there is a still and fallow place inside each of you. Embrace your inner silence and know that you are loved. Peace, and may it be so.